Okay, this week's Sedra, Parshas Kisisa, sponsored by the wine blast from Ramat Beit Shemesh, Lili Nishmas Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. The Parsha starts out with the mitzvah Machasisa HaShekel. The Pasuk says, He'ashir lo yarbev, adal lo yamit, mi Machasisa HaShekel. That the rich person can't give any less, the dal, the poor person, lo yamit, he can't give any less. He also has to give the hashir lo yarbe, can't give any more. The poor person can't give any less, but he has to give exactly machatzis shekel. So I saw Rav Shalom Shvadron. He points out that we see from here that the rich person is not supposed to chop the mitzvah for himself. He could say, "Look, I'm rich. I'll put down everybody's machatzis shekel. I'll take care of the mitzvah myself. I'll do it myself." No, the hashir lo yarbe. And the dal, the poor person, also he can't say, "Look, I don't have too much means, so let the rich person take care of it. I don't want to give even my half." No, everybody has to give part of the mitzvah, join in and be chelik of the mitzvah. It was known that the Chafetz Chaim was very makpid on this, that everybody has a chelik in the mitzvah. A person shouldn't chop and do the mitzvah for himself. And somebody once came to Chafetz Chaim, the story goes, and wanted to sponsor, the yeshiva to give the, underwrite the whole budget of the yeshiva, and the Chafetz Chaim refused to take all the money from this one person. He says everybody has to have a chelek in Achzakas Torah, not just one individual. It's mitzvah should be spread around to others. Likewise, there's a beautiful story with Rav Yonis and Eibishitz. He had a Beis Medrash. And next to the Beis Medrash, the Goyim, they built a church. Right smack across the street from the Beis Medrash. Could be it was in spite, whatever. But there was Mamish Mool, opposite the Beis Medrash. And it Mamish ate away at Rav Yonasan. You can imagine sitting there, hearing every hour, the gonging of the bells. And you have to look out the window, see this cross, staring you in the face. It was terrible. He hated it. So he had the Chavrusa that saw how much it hurt, Rav Yonasan, the occurrence. And he said, I got to do something. We can't take this sitting down. So what did he do? He decided that one night, go in the middle of the night when all is quiet, go to the church and cause a little bit of nezik. So he took his sledgehammer, snuck out in the middle of the night, climbed up to the roof, and where this big cross is, took his sledgehammer, and he smashed it to smithereens. Unfortunately, though, the Goyim knew that the church was something they didn't despise, and they made sure they had hidden surveillance 24 hours a day, just so in case something like this might happen. So sure enough, he was caught. The Yidden didn't know what happened. He just kind of disappeared. They didn't know he had planned to do this. They just knew that this cross was broken. They didn't know who, what, where, but there was this his chavrusa, and he disappeared. They didn't know where he was. So they got worried. They sending search parties out. Couldn't find him. Finally, one day, the head guard of the church, he approached the Rosh Kal of the Yidden, and he said, "You want to know where he is? I'll tell you where he is. He smashed the cross. He was caught, red-handed. He was taken by us into custody. He's sitting in a cell right now. He already had his judgment, and he's going to be burnt. He's going to be burnt at the stake for what he did." So they were shocked. He couldn't wonder, what should we do? So the Shomer said, "However, I'll tell you what. I'm willing to help you and have him, secretly escape. I can arrange it. I'm the head guard. And however, it'll cost you." Says, "Anything, what? Said, 3,000 zehuvim, 3,000 gold coins, which was a tremendous, tremendous amount of fortune. So if you come up with this money, I'll safely get your friend out of the cell." And okay, so the quickly went to work. We told the Gabbai Tzedakah, he said, "We got to get the money. It's Pidyon Shvuim. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's being held. He's going to be burnt at the stake. This is ain't Pidyon Shvuim. You're tearing mizeh. Got to get him out." So the Gabbaim ready, went from door to door, "Please give generously, etc. etc." So Rav Yonasan, Eibishitz himself, heard of what would happen, of course. And he had his father-in-law was very wealthy. And when he got married, He gave him, gave his wife a dowry of 3,000 zehuvim, exactly 3,000 zehuvim, and which the Nord says, important, so you can stay in learning. So he hadn't used this money yet, and he had it put aside. And when he heard, what happened, he said, okay, this money's going towards, saving my chavrusa. So he himself called over the shomer, and he said, I heard you want 3,000, zuvim to free my friend. I'm willing to give the money myself. He says, please, no problem. So he goes in, takes out where the money's stored, gives it to him, 3,000 things, and he kept his word. He got out, and he was free. And of course, they didn't stay around. They, he got him to some free, safe ground somewhere. So then Rav Yonason says, oh boy, now what am I going to do? Why don't you tell my wife? When she finds out, like all the dowry money I just gave away, so he's like, okay, I have to tell her for a mitzvah, if he did shruim, but still, how am I going to say that? So he was so upset, didn't know what to do with himself. He says, I gotta go away for a couple of days and just, think about it, think the right approach, how to approach my wife. And in the meantime, maybe she'll find out about it. And, all the better. Let her find out about it. She'll see the money's not there and she'll get upset and then calm down. And by the time I come home, maybe things will calm down a little bit. So that's what he decided to do. So he packed up and he left for a few days. Told his wife, I have to go somewhere for a few days, and he left. In the meantime, what happened? The church saw that the guy they caught and run is gone. And they saw it must have been an inside job, because no way he could have gotten out. He didn't break through the wall or anything. He was let out. And so they put two and two together, and they realized it must be the head shomer, which it was. So they said, we're going to kill him, get our hands on him. So he got word that they were after him. So he wanted to run away, but he had a tremendous amount of wealth, which he stole from the church while he was there for many years, and he put it all in one big huge barrel, and he took this huge barrel with all the diamonds and money, everything, put this huge barrel, and he schleps it over to Rav Yonason's house. He knocks on the door. And his wife answers and says, yes, what can I do for him? He says, quick, I have to speak to your husband immediately. So she says, well, he's not here. He says, when are you going to be home? He says, he's gone for a few days. He goes, oh, gone for a few days. He goes, okay, maybe I'll just tell you. She goes, tell me what? What's going on? He says, well, as I'm sure I freed this, your husband's chavrusa, his friend, and I got him out of prison, and he gave me himself this 3,000 zehuvim. So, I want to run away now, because they're after me. The church is after me. So, here's what I want you to do. I want to let you know that your husband is someone special. Because who would give their own money, the 3,000 zehuvim, his own money, give away to save his friend? I was so impressed with your husband that I figured if I have to run away and leave my money with somebody in the meantime, the only person I can trust is your husband. Such a person, he's so honest So I want to leave the money with you. First of all, I want to return the 3,000 zehuvim that he gave me. It's a gift. I want to give it back to you. And I want you to take this barrel with all my riches and to keep. I'm sure when I come back, you'll give it to me. I can trust you, your husband, whatever. And if by any chance I don't come back, it's yours. It's a gift. Because I'd rather you have it than the church take it. Okay? The people that are running after to kill me. Fine. So he left the barrel with all the riches and the money and everything, and he ran away. What happens? They caught him. And it was only a day or two later they found him, he was drowned in the river. So the Rabbanit got word of it. Woo! Windfall. All this money is theirs, right? Inside the 3,000, the whole barrel with the riches. She was so happy, couldn't wait till her husband gets home to tell him the good news. So she was waiting. Finally, Rav Yonason says, okay, I gotta go back home. I gotta face the firing squad. What am I going to tell my wife? Okay, he's had it all planned out or whatever. So he makes his way home, and just as he's approaching the house, she sees him coming. Oh, she runs out, And she says, uh-oh, she's after me. No, no, she says, oh, I know everything, I know everything. And she's happy and smiling. And he says, what do you mean you know everything? What's going on? So she told him. She says, you're not going to believe this. Hashem paid us back. You know, you gave her their money, their dowry money, okay, but in the end, told the whole story, they came, and we got everything and we're rich. So she thought her husband was going to, you know, dance and sing. Instead, Rabbi Yonasan started crying. Started crying bitterly. And she couldn't, uncontrollably crying. And she says, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why are you crying? Lefech, be happy. Kadosh Baruch Hu paid us back for her mitzvah. What are you crying about? She goes, that's exactly why I'm crying. She says, what? She says, listen, here I was, you know, I thought, you know, did this big mitzvah and everything, and, which, of course, it is, pinyon shvuim, and schar mitzvah, hayam aleikar, are supposed to get paid in the next world for your mitzvah. The fact that I got paid back here, and laugh at the whole money I gave, I got back, the Kaddish Baruch Hu saying, here, take it, I don't want your mitzvah. Take your money, I don't want your mitzvah. Why does Shem throw the mitzvah back in my face? Why? What did I do wrong? What? So he decided he was going to fast for 3 days, and then ask a Shilas Chalom in the dream to find out why this is happening to him. So he did so, and he got an answer. What was the answer? After he had given the 3,000 zuvim right to this to the shomer, just shortly after that, the Gabbai Tzedaka had approached him and said, "Okay, you know, we made a magbit. We're clearing, you know, collecting money, and we got X amount, and we still have a long way to go, or whatever. But we collected a little bit." And what happened? He told the Gabbai at the time. He said, "It's okay. Don't worry about it. I took care of it." And the Gabbai said, "What do you mean you took care of it?" He says, "I took care of it. I went to the shomer and I paid him all the money. I had all the money, my dowry, and I paid the whole 3,000. And it's taken care of. He's already free. You have nothing to worry about." So the Gabbai said, "You mean you did it yourself?" He says, "Yeah." So he says, "Okay, so at least take the money I collected, and you take that, so now we can all have a chilek in the mitzvah. You know, because whoever gave, at least let them have a chilek also." So he goes, "No, nothing doing. I want the mitzvah. I want the mitzvah." And he didn't take back, he didn't take the money, he wanted it for himself. So he was told in the Shilas Chalom, he says, that's why you were punished. That's why you got the mitzvah thrown back in your face, because you were not mishatef other people in the mitzvah. You hogged it for yourself. So as a result, that's why you was thrown back at you. That's what he did wrong. So he said, that's the idea that the Ashira lo yarbe. You shouldn't chop the mitzvah, take it all yourself. Share it with others. Share it around. Why take it all yourself? Because he didn't do that. That's how he was punished. So another story, Agav, a little similar, a little different twist at the end, of Shlomo Lorenz. He was a Chavir Knesset. He was Nifter just recently, a year or so ago. And he was a Chavir Knesset for the Aguda. He was very close. He put out a Sefer also recently, before he was Nifter of B'mechitzasam. He had a very close connection with the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav, etc. So one story he relates, with the Revival Salvation, the Brisker Rav, said once... he was visiting him, and he saw that Brisker Rav is sad. So he said, why are you sad? So the Brisker Rav told him, he said, listen, I support these Avreichim, I have a kolel, and I make sure, I'm very makbid, to pay them every Rosh Chodesh, their salary. And to do this, I have to ready, you know, before that, make sure all the money's in order, and usually 2 weeks before, I make sure all the money's ready, so that when the Rosh Chodesh comes, I can pay them on time. So he said, Baruch Hashem, up until now everything's going okay, but this month I'm missing some money, and that's why I'm a little bit upset, because I'm not, you know, I know how I'm going to get the money to pay them on Rosh Chodesh. So Rav Shlomo asked the Rav, how much are you missing? So he says, 1,000 shekels. This is many years ago, right? That time was quite a bit of money. So 1,000 shekels. So Rav Shlomo says, oh yeah? So he takes out his checkbook, and he writes a check for 1,000 shekels, and he says, here. So the Rav, you know, was very happy, but then he said, wait a minute. He says, can you afford this? It's a lot of money, 1,000 shekels. So he says, well, you're right. It's a lot of money, it's too much for me, really. And I was thinking I can afford more, like 100 shekels. But I figured I'll put out the 1,000, and I'll collect from other people to make up the other 900, and at least you'll have the money now up front for the call. So Britzker said, oh, thank you very much. And that was that. So Lawrence noticed, a week went by, and the money wasn't taken out of his account, you know, from the check. Another week, another month, 2 months, 3 months, a year later, it was never taken out of his account. So he went back to the Brisker Rav, and he said, what's going on? Something happened. You never cashed a check. I gave you for 1,000 shekels last year. So he goes, I know. He says, well, what's pshat? He says, well, if you remember, I asked you, can you afford this? And you said, no, I can afford 100. Said, and then you told me you're going to collect the other 900. He said, did you ever collect the other 900? So Lauren said, no. He said, He said, I had a feeling. He says, why didn't you? So he says, well, I saw how happy I made you after you took the money in the end, the check, and you're so happy. I wanted to, take the mitzvah for myself. I made you so happy. I wanted the mitzvah. So therefore, I didn't bother collecting the other 900. So according to what we said, you can understand why the Brisker Rav didn't want to collect the cash a check, because he was hogging the mitzvah for himself. But he had a little bit different twist. He said, no, he says, I knew you weren't going to do that. I knew you weren't going to collect the other money. I had a feeling you're going to take it for yourself, but I knew you couldn't afford it. So I didn't want to take money from a person who can't afford it, and therefore that's why I didn't cash the check. So he opened his drawer, he took out the check, a year old check, and he handed it back to him. But we still see this, this idea that a person should not join, bring other people, not hog the mitzvah for yourself. However, I had a question on this whole idea. There's a Shari Tshuva in Or HaChaim Siman Taf Samech Beis. The Shari Tshuva brings Shailos and Tshuvas Beis Yehuda. We ask the following question. He says, there is in prison, he says it was in the prison or in the desert, can say. It was a hypothetical question. He says, there was, let's say, one kazais of matzah on Leil Seder. That's it, just one kazais. And there's two people that want this kazais. So, who do you give it to? In other words, you give it to the one that's older, the one who's a bigger Talmud Chacham, perhaps, or whatever. That was, how do you judge who you give this kazais of matzah to? So, his answer was, so we've learned in Baba Basra, Kol Dal Yingvar. In other words, nobody gets preference. Whoever can chop the mitzvah, let him chop the mitzvah. That's the mitzvahs are there for anybody to take, whoever can have it, just because a Talmud Chacham is not worthy of a mitzvah more than any other yid, and therefore everybody has a right to try to do what he can to get the mitzvah, let him fight it like he can do what he can to get the mitzvah. That's what he claims. And then, he says that he brings from a Igeres Shmua, a parish on Megillas Rus, and that very interesting thing. He says, and not only that, he pointed out that we see from there, from the end of Megillas Rus, when Boaz, he had Ruach HaKodesh, he knew that out of Rus was going to come the Shalshalos of Malchus Beis David. So he really wanted to marry Rus, but the Goel had first dibs. So he points out, he said that Dafka, when Boaz approached the Goel and spoke to him, he made a point, it says in the Pasuk, that he called her Rus HaMoaviyah. He pointed out that she's a Moaviyah, so that he wouldn't want to take her, because she's a Moaviyah. And then he could chop her. So he says the following. This is the Lashon of Shari Tshuva. What do we see? He says that even though he basically tricked, the Goel out of, in order that he could marry her, he says, we see from here, even though you're not allowed to cheat people like that, cheat people out of taking something that's his. He goes, so that only applies to monetary things. You can't steal from somebody, trick somebody out of money. He says, aval b'mitzvahs, aval pisha eifshar likach miyad azochek, even though somebody has already the mitzvah, like he shechted and he has to do kisui dam, you can't do it instead of him, it's his mitzvah. Well, once he has a mitzvah, you can't take it away. If the person hasn't yet got the mitzvah, it's up for grabs. Haim kemidbar hamufkar lakol, it's like midbar, it's a hefka for everybody. And everybody has a mitzvah to try to mashlim himself, and therefore you can do whatever you can to even leramot, even to cheat and to try to get that mitzvah and chop it away from the other person. Now, away meaning that he hasn't got it. If he has it, okay, you can't take it away. But if he hasn't got it, you can do what you can to get the mitzvah and not that he shouldn't get it. And he says, inyan Yaakov Avinu, alav shalom, with the bechorah and the brachos. He says, that's what Yaakov Avinu did. He chopped away the brachos or whatever, the bechorah from Esau, because he saw Esau was not worthy and he wanted it, and he said he can do better with it, and therefore he tricked his brother. So, bechorah, it seems like shtickel stira from what we were learning before. Right before we said that Rabbi Yonatan Eibish says he was punished because he didn't, spread why chop them, take the mitzvah for yourself. Don't be a chazir. You know, the other people, Mishnah Tef, other people the mitzvah, and he was punished for it. Was here, we see lafech, right? Not only are you supposed to take it, you can even trick people in order to take it. So what's going on? Are you supposed to not take it? Take it. So, thinking of answering, based on the following, a question was asked Rav Zilberstein, Shlita, following. Since there was an American who was visiting Russia, this was in the time when it was still communism, when there was an Iron Curtain. And he was visiting, like some Yidden did, it was dangerous, but he went there to try to help spread Yiddishkeit a little bit over there. So this one Yid did this. And before he left, the group, the Russians there, approached him and says, you want to do us a tremendous, tremendous favor? He says, what? He says, we don't have one pair of kosher tefillin here. Nothing. And you have, a pair of tefillin. So can you please leave us your tefillin? You can go back to America, you can get yourself another tefillin. It's not a problem, But we don't have any tefillin over here. And if you leave us your tefillin, we just think of how many people you can mizaken daily. Tens of yin will be putting on your tefillin, be able to make a bracha and put on tefillin every day. Whereas then, and you'll have your own tefillin. When you go back home, you get another pair, right? But we don't. If you take your tefillin with us, we're gonna have no tefillin. So at first he was like, b'simcha, a tremendous chos, whatever. But then he saw it's not so pashut. Why? Because he made a cheshbon that he's leaving now, and by the time he gets home to America, it's already going to be, he's going to miss a day of tefillin. So he'll be able to get a tefillin after that, but one day he won't be able to put on tefillin because he'll miss in the travels. He won't have his own on him. Either he has it with him, he can put on. So his shiloh was, should I mivater on that one day of putting on tefillin to mezaka all these tens of people, daily in the midst of tefillin and miss that one day of tefillin? Or should I know? Or should I, it's more important I have to take, keep the tefillin myself and I'll do without it. That was his shiloh. So what did he answer? So he answered, he should keep his tefillin and go home with his tefillin. Don't leave his tefillin. So, yeah, the idea is, one of the ideas he says is that, right, Lemaisa, he points out, like we said before, that you got it when it comes to the mitzvah, you got a chup and you got to do what you got to do, take care of yourself. Chayecha kodmi applies not only to the physical, if you have one bottle of water, you should try to keep it to stay alive, but it applies to mitzvahs also. You have a right to do the mitzvah, and okay, they won't, but I got to do my mitzvah, I got to do what I got to do. But he said he added a little bit more to it. He says, right now, I have my tefillin, let's say, so I'm chayev. They don't have the tefillin. They're onus. Onus rachamana patre. They're pater. They don't have their tefillin. So they're pater. I'm chayev. So I don't have to mevater and make them, chayev and create a tour for myself. Right now, I'm chayev and I have my tefillin. So finish. And they're pater. And leave it like that. Okay. So based on what we said also up until now, it also, makes sense as well. Like we said, you're supposed to chop the mitzvah and keep it for yourself and do what you gotta do. Okay. However, it's a very interesting Mishnah Berurah. And Siman Tafresh Nun Ches. A little bit of a background. The Ramah over there says, V'kol adam yishtadel v'yehezariz b'mitzvah liknos lo esrog v'lulav levad kedei lakayim a mitzvah kesikna. Talking about there about having your own lulav and esrog. So the Ramah says, every individual should try to make it a point of buying his own lulav and esrog, even though you could borrow from your friend or use the shuls or whatever. But the Ramah says you should make a point of having your own lulav and esrog, kedei l'chaim mitzvah ketikna. So the Mishnah Berurah says, gives two reasons for this. First of all, he says, because not everybody is so expert in knowing how to machne to his friend, and since the first day it has to be yours, and somebody's going to give it to him, and he's not going to know how to machne to you properly, that he's giving it to you as a gift, or whatever. So that's one problem. And secondly, he says, if you're not going to have your own lulav and esrog, you won't be able to do the nanuim. You're not going to have it during Hallel, so you're not going to be able to, you know, do the nanuim during Hallel. That's also not so great. And therefore, you should have your own lulav and esrog. Okay, very good. However, listen to this. The Mishnah Berurah continues, and he says, however, Adam sheyesh lo etrog miyuchad, meaning he has his own lulav and esrog, ubeir acheres ein lehem klal, and in the other city, they have no lulav and esrog. They have nobody has lulav and esrog over there. Sounds similar to our question, right? I have my tefillin. They don't have any tefillin. Should I give up my tefillin? So same thing over here. The question the Mishnah Berurah raises, should I give them my lulav and esrog? So they'll have, because they don't have nothing. And I will then, you know, use the kals or whatever. But the Ramah says you should have your own. So says the Mishnah Berurah, if it means that you have your own, and they don't have anything, mutav sheishtalchu l'sham, better you should send your lulav and esrog over there, v'hu yivarech al shel kahal, and you make the bracha on the shuls. The Ramah said that, you know, you should have your own. Yeah, l'chachil avada is better to have your own. But if it means that they're not going to have nothing, and so it's better, you should mevater on the hinder of having your own, so have somebody else at least, that they should have something, to be able to make a bracha. So we see from here, I think, a yesod, and that is the following. That, what's the difference? Why is this? Why over here, yes, I'm supposed to, you know, give it to them? Because if it means having a mitzvah or not having a mitzvah, if I'm going to give up the mitzvah, I'm not going to have a mitzvah and give it to somebody else, mezakeh the rabbi, and then no, you have to do what you got to do and you got to keep the mitzvah for yourself. Okay, if it's me or him. And that we saw by the matzah, if it's me or him, take it. Tefillin, he was not going to have the mitzvah tefillin. Nothing. So if you're not going to have that, no, keep the mitzvah for yourself and okay, don't worry about others. You got to do what you got to do for yourself. If it's all or nothing. But if it's not all or nothing, it's all, if I'm going to give up my lulav and esrog, it's not that I'm not going to have a lulav and esrog. Possibly I wouldn't have a lulav and esrog, I shouldn't give it to them. But if I'm just not going to do the mitzvah behider, then it's better to mezakeh the rabbim and to join, have other people join in and let them have a part of the mitzvah also. And you just take don't do it as behider. That's all. And therefore, here, okay, I'm not going to have the hidurim of the, you know, the ninuim, etc., but you'll at least be able to have lulav and esrog, so then you should mezakeh the rabbim, and you'll just have it, you'll do the mitzvah a little bit less. Okay, so here we see an interesting chiluk, right? So if it's all or none, then take it yourself. Don't have to mevater on the mitzvah, do it. But if it's not all or none, you'll still be able to do it, just less behider, so then you should mezakeh the rabbim. So with that, we can answer a question. We asked, Jonas and Eibeshitz, you know, why was he punished? He said, because he didn't let anybody else. We said, we're supposed to chop the mitzvah. Yeah, that's if it's all or nothing. But this was not all or nothing. Here, he could still get the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuim, you know, by him giving some, them giving some. Everybody gives some. And then Meshat Evad, give other people, Zakeh the Rabbim in the midst of Pidyon Shvuim. That's what he should have done, because it wasn't all or nothing. It's less. Avada is less. It's a bigger mitzvah to do it yourself. You get the whole mitzvah yourself. But again, if it means that other people are going to get nothing, so then, no, you should Meshat Evad, either let other people also have a chelek. If it's, don't take it all for yourself. I am going to have less. Less, yeah. We saw from the Lulav and Esrog, have less. Yeah, take less if you're going to Zakeh the Rabbim. It's only if you're not going to have nothing, then you need to have mezakeh. It's like to conclude with Maisa, with myself, also a little bit with this Indian. I once had a similar shaila. As some of you might know, maybe all of you know, that I usually lane in the second minyan in here on the Moshav. So on Shani and Chamishi. So once, a few years ago, there was a boy who was bar mitzvah. And he came up to me and he wanted to lane on the second minyan. So he asked me to lane the second minyan. So at first I was thinking, I didn't want to give it up, it's a schus, lane or whatever, I want to stop give it up. So then I thought, okay, maybe we'll split it, I'll take one day, and he'll take Thursday or whatever, we'll split it one day or whatever. But then, you know, I was thinking about this inyan. And I thought, you know, why should I give up the mitzvah? You know, here, you take it. You know, take it. No, I want the mitzvah. Why should I give it up? Why should I give it up? I don't have to, you know. So, at first, based on what we said, you might think to say, hey, it's not a problem really. We said you should mishatev others, you know, as long as you don't lose out on the mitzvah, it's not all or nothing. So you say, good, not all or nothing. You're still laning on Monday, and he's laning on Thursday, or whatever. Even though that might not be so true, because you can say each time you lane is a mitzvah. So it's all or nothing. It's either I'm laning or he's laning. Right? So it's not just, you know, joining him in the mitzvah. It's I'm giving up the mitzvah of laning on Monday, let's say, if I don't have, perhaps. So I asked the Shaila to Mori Barabi, Rav Lev Shlita, and what should I do? Right? He wanted to lane. So he had an interesting chat. He said, well, what you want to lane? Why do you want to lane? It's a mitzvah. You know, you want the mitzvah of laning. So he says, it's also a mitzvah to mevater to somebody else, and you know, here's a bar mitzvah boy, wants to have chizuk or whatever, to, you know, that's also a mitzvah. So it's not really giving up a mitzvah, you're exchanging a mitzvah. You're giving up the mitzvah laning, but you're gaining the mitzvah of giving a boy chizuk. So the end of the story is, not nogeya, but the end of the story is, so I went with that, I went to the boy and I told him, you know, but he's a bar mitzvah boy, so I wanted, you know, a little chinuch, try to, you know, show him that, you know, what went on here, you know, and I want to mechav of the mitzvah, I tried to say, you know, I really didn't want to give up the mitzvah because, you know, it's a mitzvah and I want to do it and I want to move out there, you know, but, you know, I'll let you do it and whatever. But it's interesting because there's a boy with very fine midos and he says, no, I don't want it. He says, I didn't realize that, you know, you got to have me to the king. I thought maybe you didn't like the lane, you know, you're happy when I would lane. I said, you like the lane? He goes, then pass the shalom, because I don't want it. Anyways, so he left it until somebody else took it from me. No. anyway, so that's the story. So Bezat Hashem, we should all have the wherewithal to be zoicha, to be able to do the mitzvahs ourselves, to mishatev other people and other mitzvahs, and when it's not all or nothing. And Bezat Hashem, we should be zoicha kulanu to see the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu Imhirav Yemein. Amen.